The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm. Sam Turner, Dale Gibson and Darren Owen will be the team in the studio. We have racing from Lingfield, Exeter, Yarmouth and Kempton on Tuesday. So four meetings to look forward to, plenty to look forward to as well. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. To get us underway on this edition of the podcast, Mick, we'll start with a little bit of news surrounding the jump season. And Hunt Ball's coming back, Mick. His time in the US didn't really yield much fruit. And
no.
He's going to come back to England and he'll be with Nicky Henderson.
Yeah, he went to the top US national hunt trainer, Jonathan Shepherd. They gave him plenty of time to try and acclimatise to American racing. He had four attempts, but showed nothing like the form that he showed here. And a wise move, going into quarantine for 30 days, so presumably be at Nicky Henderson's early December, one a month or so to get over that, and then they can get cracking with him. And yeah, it'll be good to see him back, and interesting to see what Nicky makes of him.
It will, yes. And the plan, from what I can read, is that they do want to go back to the Cheltenham Festival with him. They don't know which race yet, obviously, but yeah, it'd be good to see him back there, wouldn't he? One of the highlights of the season, where he won like eight races in a row, didn't he, or something?
Yes.
Rocketed up to 162 in the handicap. And
absolutely. Yeah. Yes, but whether it will come too quickly, I'm not sure. But, well, he's in the right hands to make that decision, isn't he? Well, he will be when he comes back to Nicky, yeah.
He will. On the champion hurdle front, I know it's early days, we've only had one or two weekends in the season so far in the jumps fixtures, but the new one is the new favourite for the champion hurdle after his impressive success at Kempton, disposing former champion hurdle winner Rock on Ruby in emphatic style.
Yes, I mean, he did no more than he really had to do, did he? I know Rock on Ruby's a very good horse, but he never a very good horse first time out.
No
blinkers on, he looked a bit sluggish and a bit sort of rusty, but the new one couldn't have been more impressive. Rather an overreaction to install him as clear champion hurdle favourite until the next star turns out, and then he'll probably be the new favourite. So it'll go on until the line-up at Cheltenham on champion hurdle day, won't it, Mark?
It will. The new one is 4-1 at the moment. We also saw Al O'Connor at the weekend. He was racing on the flat. Desi Hughes is apparently happy with his performance. He's 5-1 second favourite. And after, well, it's his reappearance, isn't it, against proven inform.
Similar to his reappearance last year on the flat. And who would have thought when he did that what he was going to do over hurdles? I'm still blown away by that performance in the triumph. I'm not a great fan of 5-year-olds in the champion, I must say, but I'm a great big fan of our Connor.
Yeah.
And if anyone can bridge that gap, he can.
Yeah, and his trainer's been quoted as saying he comes alive when he sees a hurdle as well, so he's going to get better, isn't he?
He's brilliant.
Good. And Hurricane Fly there at 11-2. He'll be coming back for the champion hurdle, no doubt, and be interesting to see how the market changes when he has his reappearance. It'll all change again, I'm sure.
He never looks particularly brilliant until champion hurdle day, does he?
And, no.
So plenty to look forward to. It'll be swings and roundabouts, won't it?
Well, that's the jumps news so far. Then we're going to do the Monday jury as well on this edition of the podcast, and it's an intriguing Monday jury this week. The first question is around the Breeders' Cup. It's, can you envisage Olympic Glory winning the Breeders' Cup Mile? He was very impressive at the weekend, wasn't he?
He was, wasn't he? The question is, I think they want to either run Toronado or Olympic Glory, but not both. So we don't really know.
I'd expect it to be Toronado.
I would really. I mean, I know Olympic Glory is fresher than most and goes there on the back of that confidence boosting win at Ascot last time. But I think it was a ground related result, not decrying the performance at all in any shape or form. But he's not going to get that ground in America.
No.
Because if it gets that soft in America, they switch it to the dirt track, which is completely, you know, throw the spanner in the works. So, yeah. I'm not so sure if he's a Breeders' Cup Mile horse.
Yeah, it'll come quick enough. The ground will probably be less in his favour, whereas Toronado wants a quick surface.
Absolutely.
So if they've got a pick out of the two, then...
Yeah, he could well be the one.
Mm. Sarista Zeigler, Mick, he's the next subject of the next question. Would you see Sarista Zeigler, would you fancy, sorry, Sarista Zeigler if he came back for a fourth crack at the champion?
It'd be a brave man to rule him out. He always acquits himself well when he comes to Ascot, doesn't he? And after chasing home Franca last year, he found only the brilliant Farr. And I think Farr's very much sort of underestimated as a horse. I mean, he was gave Frankel a fright, didn't he, himself? So, yeah, he's still up there with the best of them at 10 furlongs when she gets him right. And he certainly seems to come into his own in the autumn.
Yeah.
Depends on the opposition, Mark. Something will probably come out of the pack and throw down a challenge. But it'll be there or thereabouts again. You wouldn't want to be laying him for a place, would you? You know, because he'll be there, won't he?
He will. He's usually there or thereabouts. And I don't know if he'll ever win it again, though, because...
No, the stats for his age and upwards is horrendous.
And he had conditions exactly in his favour this year. He might not always get that.
Yeah.
Leading Light, then, is a favourite for the 2014 Gold Cup. How do you see him in the stayers division?
Yeah, it depends what... if that's the way they want to go with him, I think it will be the logical step. I thought it was very interesting that they stepped out of the Storm up to 2 miles on Champions Day. I thought he ran a stable companion. You never know. They might think if there's a dearth of mile and a half horses about, they might... I don't think it's a given that he'll go up into the staying bracket. They may well think this is a King George Ark horse, all those sort of races. Depends what's around, Mark. And maybe that's why they were testing the waters with either Storm, whose form since he stepped up to 2 miles has been a bit of a revelation, hasn't it? And I was very impressed with him. And also, just a place behind either Storm in fourth was Pale Mimosa, who, again, she's unexposed at these sort of trips, and we know what a high-class performer Pale Mimosa is. So, plenty to look forward to. I wouldn't say it was a given that Leading Light would move into the stairs bracket. I think it'll depend what Ballydoyle have got to go to war with at 12 furlongs.
OK. What's right and wrong about British Champions Day and the series?
What's right is, you've got all those group races all together. What's wrong is Estimate beaten, 2-1 favourite. Marek, 7-2 favourite, beaten. Dalakala and Hot Snap, 7-2 co-favourites, beaten. Jack's Revenge, beaten favourite. And Sarista Zeigler, beaten favourite. All probably, well, not all of them, but a lot of those were ground-dependent results, weren't they? So from a punter's point of view, it wasn't a great success, was it? Because some of those bankers, didn't they? Estimate... and Dawn Approach, etc. They looked bankers, but it just didn't work out that way, did it?
No.
But it's still a great day's racing. Great to see Slade Power get his Group 1. And a brilliant result for Olympic Glory and Top Notch Tonto, who finished second for Brian Ellison after that ball move to supplement him for 70 grand. It was a great, great day's racing, and but I don't know. I was slightly underwhelmed by it all because the ground played such a part in the results. It just wasn't a level playing field for me.
Yeah, the main problem with Champions Day is where it is in the calendar, I suppose. I mean, you can't move it, but it's the British weather, isn't it? That's the problem.
Well, its effect. See, if it had been run at Newmarket, I don't think the ground would have had the effect on the results that running it at Ascot did.
Hmm. Interesting. What do you make of the call to have a two-year-old race on the card as well?
Yeah, they're talking about removing the Dewhurst, but the Dewhurst's traditional home is Newmarket. Mind you, the Champion Stakes traditional home used to be Newmarket, didn't it? I'm not sure. I think I'd leave the Dewhurst where it is because, I mean, that is the Dewhurst is the guide for next year's top two-year-old, so we don't want to start messing about with that and move it to Ascot and have it become a nonsense on unraceable ground. So I'd leave the Dewhurst where it was. If you want a top two-year-old race, maybe, I don't know, Racing Post Trophy, really it's natural home's Doncaster, isn't it? Yeah. But I mean, that wouldn't go amiss as far as you're usually won by a soft ground performer. But I don't think Donny would be highly delighted at the suggestion. But no, I think leave the Dewhurst where it is, Mark.
Okay. On to the next question then. Do you like Dandino's chances in the Melbourne Cup following his second at Caulfield?
Brilliant run, wasn't it? Brilliant run from Simenon as well. I just get the feeling, though, that they're both going to be honourable losers, like we seem to specialise in the Melbourne Cup, and something that we've never heard of with just 4 stone on its back comes along and wins at 33-1. But they'll both play their part, I'm sure, Simenon and Dandino. Great run from him, but I think just get the feeling he's got honourable loser written all over him.
Okay.
You know, second, third, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, 13-2 for Dandino. He's the second favourite behind Fiorente in the betting at the moment. And you mentioned Simenon as well. He's in there at 12-1.
Yeah.
Bigger prices. What other horses have caught your eye of late then, Mick?
The one that really knocked me over was King's Palace, Cheltenham the other day. I mean, we know he was a very good horse from his bumper days. Maybe unlucky to be unbeaten over hurdles. Was still in front when he was when he fell. I think it was at the last at Ayr, and then he's started this winning run. But that result. The visual manner of the performance at Cheltenham the other day was quite staggering. I think it was something like 18 lengths he put between himself and his rivals, without appearing to change gear.
Mm.
But obviously he was, because all of a sudden everything was in trouble behind him. And I think the Pipes have got a superstar on their hands there.
Yeah,
but he wasn't beating trees, was he, Mark?
No, it wasn't. Creepy was second in there, 18 lengths behind him, like you say. And Monbeg Dude, we've seen him plenty of times. Hold On Julio pulled up as well, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were sort of like staying chases.
Yeah.
But, you know, sort of Monbeg Dude having a warm-up for the Welsh National. Hold On Julio, not really hurdlers, are they? But it was just the manner of the victory. I mean, you look at his form prior to that, and it's pretty progressively going forward. And but that the way he travelled through the race and jumped, it just took it to a different level. And it was great to see little Samatigal get his first win of the new season on the board as well. I love this horse, and I think he's very much underestimated. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if Paul Nicholson cooks more improvement out of him. Keep him left-handed. Keep him sort of to the minimum trip, and you maybe have a crack at one or two of these good trial races and just see if he can make that transition. Because third in the Triumph, he doesn't have much to find, does he? But obviously to make the breakthrough into the top echelon, right, I think he's got plenty going for him, technique and his attitude.
Okay, good stuff, Mick. That's the Monday jury then for another week. We'll be back doing that again next Monday, on Tuesday's podcast. Of course, we record it on a Monday, but we're going to look at Tuesday's racing now. And Mick has picked out three races at Yarmouth. What do you make of Yarmouth on Tuesday, Mick?
Yeah, plenty of runners. It's going to be soft ground, and hopefully, you know, we've picked some nice each way races for you, and probably be a few non-runners to snooker the four places, but anyway, they're all each way betting heats. So hopefully we can have a bit of fun, Mark.
Okay, the first of them is definitely an each way betting heat. It's the 3:20 at Yarmouth. It's a 6 furlong nursery with 16 runners in the lineup. So as you say, Mick, 4 places on offer, providing they all stand their ground.
Absolutely.
Which ones have got your eye?
I've got three on the shortlist here. The top weight superstar, who I saw run at York the other day, was runner up in a 7 furlong maiden behind the potentially very useful debutante Peyton Tower, trained by Marco Botti, and I thought that was a good run. And I don't think that mark of 74 is beyond him. He was a good fourth in a grade two nursery at Doncaster, and off a similar mark, and he's down into class 5 here, so he's got to be respected. And that ground at York was riding on the dead side. They called it good, but it was more dead than good. So I don't think the ground will be a problem, being a son of Pivotal. And it's going to be hard to knock out of the frame, especially with the blinkers on for the first time for Ron Harris. Another one I saw run at York was Sherston, who was finished third on his nursery debut at York last time, third behind Aeolus and a class 3. He hasn't got any soft ground form as such in the book, but as I said, it did ride a bit on the slow side at York that day, and he didn't seem to be inconvenienced by conditions, so you can't knock him out either. But I think the one who might provide us with a bit of value is the Verglas filly, IC Mist, Paul Hennigan's been booked by Jim Gallagher. She's been highly tried, this filly. She's running Group 3 and listed. That was a really good handicap debut in a Class 4 of 73 last time. The handicap has actually given her £4 back. She can run here off 69. And I think, with being a daughter of Verglas, I don't foresee any ground problems. And I just think she could be not a forgotten horse, but a bit better value than the previous two we mentioned. So I see Mist for me in the 320.
OK. On to the next race, then. This is the 350 at Yarmouth. It's a Class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs. And shall we start here with Gatepost Mick, who had his sights lowered a little bit in his last two outings, and then when that met with the soft ground at Windsor, he returned to winning ways. What do you make of him?
Yeah, that was... I think the ground was the key. He ended a long losing run in that Windsor contest recently, but I do think this is tougher than that that Windsor race, and I think he might just be up against it under his penalty. And after that long losing run, I think it's going to be hard work for him to back up. A couple I like here, in fact, three I've got again on the shortlist. I'll start with Green Howard, who was 1 from 1 here at Yarmouth. That was over 7 furlongs, but his proven stamina won't do him any harm on that rain-softened ground at Yarmouth that he's going to encounter. And he's got plenty of form at this trip, including a good run at Ayr on his penultimate start. Jason Hart, 2 rides on him, a win and a second, which is a plus. And I think Green Howard's going to be very, very hard to keep out of the frame. Monsieur Jamie, son of Monsieur Bond, trained by John Jenkins, Sylvester de Souza on board. He's 3 from 11 on turf, and that was a really good run last time. A back to form 2nd of 12 behind Daconde in a Nottingham handicap, a third of 12 behind Daconde. And this mark, I think, gives him leading claims. And his first 4 career wins were gained on the 5% at Southwold, so the ground holds no terrors for him. And I thought that was a good race that I think we put Daconde up in the podcast we did for that, and that was a good run to finish 3rd behind Daconde. And the other one is Italian Tom, another one trained by Ron Harris, who's got himself really well handicapped, this horse. He's £9 lower than his last win, and looked on the way back last time when he finished 2 lengths 3rd to the Strig in a Sandown race run on soft ground, and he's too well handicapped to ignore. So I'd have 2 running for me here, Green Howard and Italian Tom, and hopefully they'll be both each way prices. They should go 4 to 1 the field here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the final race that we're going to look at is the 420 at Yarmouth. This is a Class 5 handicap over a mile and 3 furlongs, the extended mile and 3 furlongs. And Storm Aitchen won rather comfortably at Salisbury last time, holding off the challenge of Castini, who was only a length second, but those two were well clear.
Absolutely.
Of the remainder, and it looked as if he could be well handicapped, this Sir Michael Stout runner.
You could say that. He's only £6 higher, and he's going to, but the trouble is they're going to be all over him like a rash, aren't they? He's going to get overbet, this horse. But he left his previous efforts well behind on his handicap debut, encountering heavy ground for the first time, and he's going to be very, very hard to beat. So we'll just have a look for something to hit the frame. Red Pilgrim, I mean, what's that all about? Went up £12 for finishing 3rd in Leicester Maiden. So it's just absolutely unbelievable. So the one for the each-way angle, or the forecast, if you like, is the bottom one, the Hurricane Run Filly Mistral Wind, trained by Ed Dunlop, who still a maiden after 8, but chased home a Jika in a wins handicap on soft ground last time over a similar trip to this. Can run off the same mark, and I think if you want to minimise the pain of the price that Stomachin's going to be, you could do worse than put Mistral Wind in the forecast with him, or go on the pro market without, and or place only. You know, the plenty of ways to play it now with that pro market when you've got a shorty on offer.
Yeah. Okay, then Mick, as always, and that's about a little bit of a summary, if you will, before you go.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a bit of value in the nursery. Hot Nursery 3 with Major Chances, Superstar Sherston and IC Mist. I just thought IC Mist might be an each-way price, might be a bit better value. I've got two running for me in the 350. Green Howard, who was one from one at Yarmouth. Jason Hart, two rides on him, a win and a second. He can't be out of the shake-up. And Italian Tom, too well handicapped to ignore. £9 lower than his last win and back to form last time. The ground, no problema. Stamaccian's going to be very hard to beat in the 420, but he's going to be prohibitive odds. So we'll put up Mr. Wind as the likely forecast or each-way angle.
OK, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Tuesday. Man.
Thank you.
The selections there then of Mick Norton for Tuesday's racing at Yarmouth. You'll hear all of the action on Tuesday on Racing Radio. Sam Turner, Dale Gibson and Darren Owen will be live from 1:40 p.m. We have this meeting at Yarmouth. There's also National Hunt Racing from Exeter and there's action on the all-weather poly track at Lingfield. And we'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture at Kempton as well in the evening. So four meetings to look forward to. You'll hear them all live on Racing Radio, so tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast. And enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.